Hello, and welcome to another episode of Soldiers of the Lights Ministries, Life's Lessons in Christ. Tonight, I want to talk to you about something that is near and dear to my heart. We're going to talk about Christian love and the controlling guideline. If I had to, that's my title for tonight. It's been a minute. It's been a while since I've been back here with you, but I am amongst the land of the living. Tonight, we're going to talk about Christian love, the controlling guideline. And I'm going to be coming to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. And I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version, and then we're going to go from there. Amen. And it reads, this is Paul talking. Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing. Right? He knows nothing. He knows, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, and there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God. Right? And the Father, of whom are all things, whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all things and through whom we live. However, there is not in everyone that knowledge. For some, with consciousness of the idol, until now it eats as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. But food does not commend us to God. For neither if we are if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat are we the worse. But be aware lest somehow this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, and will not the conscience of him who is weak be embodied to eat those things offered to idols, and because of your knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. Now may the Lord bless the reading of the word. Now, tonight, as I said, you know, one of the things that I want to talk about, this thing of Christian love. You know, when the scripture says in the RSV version, he says, therefore, if food is a cause of my brother's falling, I will never eat meat, lest I cause my brother to fall. Now, in the chapter that serves as our scripture reading, the Apostle Paul is dealing with a practice that was common in the first century, right? But is not familiar to us today. Now, in America today, people generally either worship one God or no God, right? In ancient Corinth, there were many gods and many different religions. Sacrifices were made to these various idols, and then the meat offered in sacrifices was eaten by the worshipers and their guests. To eat meat offered to an idol was to engage in a form of worship and to receive nourishment and the hope of help from the idol God whose sacrifice was being consumed. Now, listen, those who were converted to faith in Jesus Christ forsook the worship of idols and recognized idols, right, to be nothing. Now, and to receive, right, listen, and to be nothing, some of these new converts, right, insisted that since the idol had no reality, right? And no harm in feasting at an idol temple or in purchasing the meat offered in sacrifice to idols. Paul says that to participate in such feasts, right? Let's understand this. To participate in such feasts or to use meat offered to idols could be harmful to those who had not yet come to knowledge of the true God. Now, he declares that not everyone has the knowledge of the truth as they had come to it, as it is in Christ Jesus. He is eager that these new converts, right, that relate properly to those who are still pagans. In our text, he enunciates a particular principle that reveals that Christian love must be the controlling guideline for all of our conduct, right? And everything as it is affects non-believers. As Phillips translates it, it says this: "This makes me determine that if there's anything possibility of meat injuring my brother, I will have none of it as long as I live, for fear I might do him harm." Now listen, I'm going to give you some key points tonight. And some of the key points is that we are responsible for our influence, right? Christian love will cause us to recognize our ability or our responsibility for our influence and cause us to be aware lest we cause others to stumble. Now, what I mean by that, we must not cause even those who are hostile toward Jesus Christ to stumble, right? For example, where Paul said, "Give no offense to Jews," right? Well, we must not cause even those who are indifferent to Christianity, even today, to stumble, giving no offense, right, to Greeks. You know, again, outline in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32, we must not cause our fellow Christians to stumble, give no offense to the church of God. Now listen, we must genuinely be concerned about the welfare of weaker Christians. Now, what I mean by that is this. Listen, we are warned against the consequences of sinning against weaker Christians, right? And wounding their consciences. The conscience has been defined as the faculty of responsibility of moral judgment. Now, listen. You know, Jesus warned against causing the weaker brother, right, to fall into sin, right? Outlined in Matthew chapter 18, verse 6, right? And B, to sin against the weaker brother is to sin against Christ. To cause someone to sin against that brother, you know, or when we do sin against, that is to sin against the very nature of Jesus Christ. Now, it is interesting to note that the glorified Christ considered mistreatment of the church to be mistreatment directed towards him. Now, listen, one of the things is this, you know, when we do these things, right, when we do these things, now, one of the things is this, there are many ways by which the conscience of weaker Christians are injured by those who are more mature. Now, or at least they think they are more mature. You know, social drinking, right, which may be controlled by some, is a deadly evil because every person is a potential alcoholic. Even that, right, that which is considered to be harmless, gambling can be very dangerous to some because people become addicted to gambling just as they can become addicted to alcohol. Some people in this world habitually break the speed limit. I think I just told myself on that one. Habitually break the speed limit, right? Discarding the speed limit and thinking nothing of it. This can have a harmful effect on children who see parents recklessly disregarding traffic laws. To neglect the neglect of Bible study, even prayer, and regular worship habits can have a harmful effect on weaker Christians who look to others for guidance and encouragement. Listen, we live in a world filled full of hate. And we as believers have to remember that we cannot be like the people of this world. And, you know, one of the things is that we must be builders rather than wreckers, you know. And what I mean by that is this. Listen, the Apostle Paul urged his readers to let love be the controlling guideline in all of their relationship with others. He rejoiced that these converts now had knowledge of the true God, which included an evaluation of idols as being nothing. However, he warned them against the peril of letting this knowledge create within them an attitude of arrogance, right? An attitude of arrogance. He encouraged them instead to relate to the weaker Christian, right, in a great loving concern. Now, listen, one of the things about love is this. Love always builds up rather than tears down. Christian love is never, I want you to understand this, y'all. Christian love is never, never self-centered. Christian love is always concerned about the welfare of others. Man, I tell you, that just blows my mind. And it's true. Now, here's another point that I want to leave you with. The Christian's compelling objective is this, it should be this in the world today, right? That they may be saved. Now, let me go read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 33, so you can hear what I'm trying to say to you when I say that, right? It says this, just as I also please all men, right? This is Paul still talking, right? All men and things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved, right? Paul's main goal was to preach the gospel, that others would turn to Jesus, that they may be saved. Now, with verse 33, you know, he brings a section of his epistle to a conclusion, and he reveals the basis for the counsel he has been giving. Right, he was exceedingly eager that all groups might come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We need to do that. We need to do those very things. We need to come to the knowledge that all might be saved, right? Even the weaker ones. Now, here's this, right? Now, it was essential that, you know, these new converts conduct themselves in such a manner as not to cast negative reflection on Christ or to violate the sense of propriety of those whom they were seeking to win. Listen, we need to be about God's business, and we need to encourage others and give others the knowledge of coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. A Christian must relate to others in such a manner as to reveal to them that God loves them. Now, Christians need to relate to others in such a manner as to reveal that God has a wonderful plan for their lives. That should be part of our Great Commission. Now, I leave you with this conclusion. What we do, what we say, and what we are wield in influence over the lives of others. One can no more escape from one's own influence than from one's shadow in bright sunlight, right? We must let the love for the Lord and the Lord's love for the unsaved be the controlling guidelines in all of our conduct at all times. Listen, that is the very key right there, and where we as Christians need to do. We need to get away from the negative things of this world. We need to have the very mind of Christ, and we need to let love abound. You know, I look at this world today, and I see the things that are going on, and I think to myself, how can people call themselves Christians if they hate their fellow man? How can they call themselves believers and say, I love you, but yet curse you in the same breath? How can Christians say that they love one another when yet they get upset over and they disagree on political views and political aspects of things? How can people say they have the love of Christ when they come against the weaker ones? You know, this Christian life is not to be self-centered or dominant over others. This Christian life is to be a manner that the love of Christ can shine forth so that others will be changed and we can win others to know the love of Jesus Christ and the love of our Heavenly Father. That why He sent Jesus Christ to die for you and I. Listen, let's begin to practice the narratives of Christ's love. Let's get rid of the negative things that we know that's of this world and practice the things of Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for your unfailing love. Lord, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that you would allow your unfailing love by your grace and your mercy, Lord. Help us to live out that dynamic of who we are in your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to live this Christian thing out to love one another. I ask right now, Lord God, everybody under the sound of my voice would have a love for one another and a thirst to grow closer to you. I ask, Lord, that you bless everybody under the sound of my voice. Let them have a great evening in you, Lord. And I pray, Lord God, that you will bless them in every area of their lives, Lord. May the words that they hear right now be the meditation of their heart and lead them and guide them in the way that we can no longer try to dominate those that are weaker than us, but learn to love those and to lift them up before you and encourage them to be stronger Christians in their walks. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. I pray. Amen, Father, amen, Son, and amen, Holy Ghost. Listen, thank you for joining me for another episode of Soldiers of the Light's Ministries, Life's Lessons in Christ. God bless you, and I'll see you next time. Take care. God bless.